previously on Notcast.
Touch it. Damn it.
Give mind to the things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
So what's the episode number, Zavrin?
Episode 340.
The Road to Shit.
I'm Zavrin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
This is Notcast. Boy, howdy. It's been another week, and we're still here.
Howdy, boy.
Yeah, well, you know, I've survived the week in a very literal sense.
Yeah.
You guys follow my Twitter antics, and I retweeted it from the podcast account, too.
At Zavrin Drake, like and subscribe.
Yeah, well, I retweeted from the account the small rabbit double teamed by Corolla and Mini outside of a church dot move. And I really hoped that people would find that amusing. But people were more like, oh my God, are you okay? Well, yes, I'm tweeting, I'm okay.
People were more concerned about my well-being than laughing at my joke.
I know. It's like I was trying to be funny in a good, wholesome way while making a sex joke.
Wholesome? Wait a minute.
It was like a wholesome Brazzers video, you know? Or a wholesome Pornhub video title. But no. Yeah, man, it sucked. I got plowed into by not one but two cars in a row.
Some size played there.
Yeah, well, it was a Corolla and a Mini versus a Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out that V-dubs are real sturdy, all things considered. I'm really glad they are.
Yeah.
Because if you guys look at my Twitter account and you see the photos of the car, it's proper fucked.
But still drivable.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, the other cars, they're the ones that are more fucked than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my car drove home, and I got to take it to the, like, get it assessed and have the whole insurance rigmarole thing. But I'm okay. Like, a little sore.
I'm okay. You're okay.
You're not okay.
Mm.
Get out. So, glopping.
Glopping?
Yes.
Sounds gross.
Yes. 2 years worth of semen glopped into a Zuna.
Into
it was
what?
It was from an Sword Art Online fanfic that Panther and I were joking over the other day.
Oh.
So, anyways, car shit, I'm alive. It's been an interesting last few days, though, for me. So, we're gonna delve a little bit...
Fuck, sorry.
...into the, I'll admit I've become a lot more political on my personal Twitter account because I think it's really important to be engaged with that kind of shit right now.
Engaged like Captain Picard, yo.
Yep. And I've also, like, but occasionally I'll just flippantly reply to motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
So any of you guys pay any attention to fucking PewDiePie? If you do, well, I guess that sucks for you. But he's this YouTuber, fucking millionaire. Rich as shit, biggest account subscriber base on YouTube, right? Gets in trouble. Turns out, back in the, little about a year ago maybe, Disney bought Maker Studios. Maker Studios is a top-end content management network on YouTube, and Disney bought them for whatever fucking reason. And it hasn't worked out too well for Disney because it turns out that YouTubers don't make cable-ready content.
No kidding.
And so PewDiePie was at the top and their headliner. And people kind of paid attention and was like, wait a minute, this guy's doing a lot of random anti-Semitic jokes.
Mm.
And I'm saying jokes with quotation marks.
Like a spike in number in a really constricted period
like
of time.
Nine times since August or something like that.
Yeah.
The dude wasn't producing a massive amount of content, but it's enough to raise some eyebrows. And when he finally goes to Fiverr, which is essentially its intended purpose is like, hey, get me some help for $5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drop $5.
But it's turned into make poor people dance for your dollars, yes, basically.
In a lot of ways, it is. Like, there's, let's pay $5 in this classroom of children in Africa will read something written on a chalkboard, or this guy, they call him, I think his name's Tyrone, will like read a thing out in a very newscastery like voice. And he's some African guy. And in this case particular was, let's pay a couple of Indian dudes, like India, to hold up a sign that they can't read, but they can write it out that said death to all Jews. It's just a joke, guys. Why aren't you laughing? I mean, it's just a joke. Ha ha. And so I'm obviously like, well, about time that piece of shit got his comeuppance. And of course he's got this massive fucking fan base. They're like, no, it's just a joke. You fuckers don't get it. Oh, you guys hate South Park, blah, blah, blah. And one YouTuber that I have since unfollowed was going on about how, oh, it's a free speech thing, free speech. And I'm like,
my free speech.
And I'm like, no, it's not. And I just replied with the XKCD comic about free speech.
Yeah.
It's xkcd.com/1357 is the comic's URL.
Oh. They make that easy?
Yeah, actually, it was surprisingly easy to remember. And it basically boils down to that, you know, yeah, you can sell all you want because the First Amendment only really applies to the government. But that doesn't mean that corporations and other people have to give you a platform for you to run your mouth.
Yeah.
And when they tell you to get out, that's not infringing on your free speech. That's just telling you to get out.
Yeah.
And I just very flippantly replied to this person's, like, you know, tweet about it with that comic. Whew. So I'm going to go check my stats because it was... Thankfully, it's calmed the fuck down, but it got 514 faves and 163 retweets and, like, 40 replies. And a lot of them were basically eggs.
Yeah.
And frog posters going, like...
Or anime avatars.
Yeah, and I hate the fact that
that's the new thing, apparently.
It's like, either they're an egg or an anime avatar, and you look at their... You, like, take one look at their fucking profile, and it's like, wow, you're a garbage human being, I can just tell.
Or like, it's like six followers, 10 tweets.
Yeah, and they're just, like, sticking their nose in from a disposable alt account.
Order a bot.
Yeah,
or that. It's hard to tell.
It is. Yeah. And, like, nobody really had any arguments other than lol triggered. And it's like, yeah. No, it's completely moral and defensible for a company to be like, we don't want this association. Because it's not just this, it's not one incident, it's a whole fuckload of incidents. And the fact that, like, an actual legitimate Nazi site was calling itself, like, the number one fan site for this dude, for PewDiePie's fans, which, he's a lot of kids. It'd be like, well, you know, take any, the dude from Blue's Clues going on about how, you know, we need to round up and kill all the blue dog or something, you know? It's like, let's just make it nonsensical.
Yeah.
Basically, a person that has a following that's largely children deciding, you know, spouting off random abhorrent things and sending them down a real shit path. And that actually kind of goes into an article that both Fuzz and I, we actually had a really good discussion about this the other day.
Because, yeah.
You know, it's real simple for, like, people to fall down this path.
Yeah.
The path to shit. Where...
That's what we're calling this episode. The road to shit is paved with shitty intentions.
Yeah. Where it basically... well, pull up the article, Fuzz. You have it on your phone.
Right.
And there was another...
There's a couple like this.
Yeah, there's been a few actually really well thought out points because...
So this one's a BuzzFeed article... it's titled "The Downfall of YouTube's Biggest Star is a Symptom of a Bigger Illness." I'm just gonna like boil down the concept.
It's a pretty lengthy article.
Yeah, it's a super lengthy article. Chuck Wendig tweeted a link to it. He's a author mostly known for the Star Wars book he wrote and enraged people with.
He wrote it in like second person. It wasn't very well written, but that's beside the point.
They had a problem with it for some other reason. I can't remember what it was. Was there like a gay character or something?
I think there was
like
a gay character. I just thought the writing style was bad.
Oh, okay. But how the fuck do you write a Star Wars book in second person?
It was really weird.
Okay. Like, all right.
Anyways.
Very rarely done. So basically the idea is, you know, you're... you're younger and inexperienced and you want validation or you want people to like you. And hey, everybody likes when you tell a joke and people laugh in response, and it makes you feel good. So maybe you start saying some edgy shit to get that reaction, and nobody stops you. Nobody says, hey, that's a shitty thing to say or whatever. We're talking about making jokes about Anne Frank or black people or something like that. But you keep getting that positive feedback. So you keep pushing, you have to keep pushing the envelope to keep getting that same response. And in most cases, like, hopefully somebody would step in and be like, hey,
that's not cool.
Stop making racist jokes. That's not cool. And, you know, you would maybe get like hauled back from the edge a little bit. But in this circle jerking kind of internet culture, you just keep going further and further. And then when people do call you out, like say, hey, that's anti-Semitic, then you end up defending your joke, and then you end up defending the practice. And people that are listening, they can't tell the difference necessarily between, you know, what you mean and what you really mean, quote unquote, but they may not be able to, like, the people that are actually anti-Semitic are going to listen to you and go like, yeah, that's funny because I hate Jews too. And like, okay, so now you have anti-Semitic fans, which is not a good place to be. And if you don't defend your point of view, you're going to piss off your fan base. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really easy way to go from pretending to be a shitty person to get laughs to actually becoming a shitty person and defending the shitty behavior that you were previously only joking about.
Yeah.
And that's basically the gist of this article and a couple of other tweet threads.
Yeah, well, actually, I found the tweet thread that I was actually wanting to.
Was it the Hulk one?
Yeah, okay. The film critic Hulk. It was like, regarding PewDiePie, right? Making inane shock jokes will inevitably push you to becoming that actual hyper-conservative jerk. It starts with making a joke, but the outrage is sincere, so the just-joking defense is put up, but the consequences feel weirdly real. But rather than face yourself, other people's sensitivity becomes the enemy, so the jokes get more extreme. So the consequences become more real, too. Then you're so embedded in your own war on sensitivity that you don't realize you've joined a side. Sure, you don't know what you stand for, it's just all about them sweet, sweet liberal tears. But soon the people who support you start making sense, quotation marks, because they see the same flaws in the people you hate that you do. And soon enough, you become the very fascistic asshat that you could once not relate to, but only once made jokes about. And that's the story of how the in-it-for-the-lulz internet became a bunch of dyed-in-the-wool fascists. So the question is, when are we going to recognize this shit for not only what it is, but what it will be? You know, and that's, you know, you look at the people, you know, like, look at the Nazi furs, right? Like, the people are like, no, it's all about the fucking fashion. But, man, you know what? I really do hate feminists. And then it's like the actual, like, people that are on that side are like, yeah, we hate them too. We also like Nazi costumes. Really? Great. And then you end up with this – it's a literal infestation in your community. And it's one of those things that, like, that article, the Chuck Wendt article we're talking about, you end up with this subculture – within your own community, hiding in the dark.
Yeah.
And then when it gets exposed, it looks like it feels like it just came out of fucking nowhere, when in fact you just had ignored it because you didn't think it could happen here, kind of thing.
Right.
Like, of course, no, there's not actual Nazi furs. Oh, shit. There actually are, actually.
Yeah, and they've been here a long time, and we've just never really...
You know, the... Yeah. Fucking gaming, you know, we had that happen, what, 3 years ago at this point with Gamergate and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And, like, you think, nah, it's just internet bullshit. But when, like, we had this discussion, like, I went to a gaming convention here in Plano and actually heard firsthand some of the shit people were saying about a few of the female devs that were there. And it was just like, what the fuck? People actually say this in real life? What the fuck? They're not just being idiots on the internet? My God.
Yeah.
You know, and that really forced an evaluation of, like, you know, personal beliefs and like what I was looking and consuming, going, yo, no, backing the fuck off here. And like where I was able to back the fuck off and get my head back out of my ass in some regards, like I've lost a couple friends down that road, you know, that didn't pull back, you know, and now they're off doing their own thing. And I feel real bad that I lost a friend, but I'm like, yo, you've gone down a real fucking dark path.
Yeah.
That I can't fucking support. And like, I've been going through my Twitter list and seeing like who am I following, you know, and just kind of like analyzing what these people are saying. I'm like, do I want this person in my, do I want to follow this person? Do I want to see what they're tweeting? Do I think this person is worth, cause I'm pretty selective when it comes to who I follow on Twitter and shit. And like, I see these people retweeting certain accounts and I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have crossed the line. I am not going to associate with you.
And I'm like, I'm kind of two minds, I guess, because I'm sort of like, I'm older, I'm 40, and I'm like, I was still saying shitty things like 5, 7, 8 years ago, well, you know? You know, so part of it's sort of like, these people are just younger and they haven't had that inciting incident to really make them change. And I don't remember what it was with me that made me want to change. For you, it was that con. And
well, for you, it was talking to your sister about getting catcalled.
Yeah, that where it came to the women thing, definitely. Well, like I was saying to you at lunch, and I'll go ahead and relate a story on here, I thought construction workers wolf whistling and yelling things at women was like a fucking, I don't know, Flintstones honeymooners kind of thing. Yeah. Like it happened in sitcoms from decades ago, but people didn't actually do that. And then, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, my sister had a job where she worked downtown and she had to park and then walk like 2 or 3 blocks to the office. And she would get shit yelled at her every day. And I was like, Jesus, I didn't know that actually happened.
Yeah, it's the whole wait, that actually happens. It's not just in the fucking cartoons.
Because I know people fucking lose their mind when you say privilege, but it's like, that's my privilege of being a guy that I have not had to deal with that, you know? And so I didn't think it was real. But then somebody close to me was like, no, this is real. And also talking to some of the women in the fandom.
Yeah.
You know, and Tyrion was talking about this to me. He said he's talked to, I think it was Rukus and Laura, were both telling him, like, all the shitty things that have been said to or about them in the community or just people being creepy when approaching them for shit and stuff or following them back to their rooms. Like, I don't know what you think is going to happen, but... but no, go away. You're creeping me out.
You know, and this, you know, we're both pretty much straight passing white fat nerd dudes. Yeah. We don't have shit thrown our way in a lot of ways. So it does require us to have encounters with people that have had and be empathetic and listen to their shit, what happened to them. Yeah. You know, and like, you know, it fell to me having a lot more interactions with trans people to get an idea of the shit they have to go through. And, you know, working with them and befriending them and being like, holy shit, you guys are so fucking put upon. Holy fuck. And, you know, but until you get that knowledge, right, until you get the firsthand, like you encounter someone, it's just it's kind of this ephemeral idea. It's like, hey, let's not be shitty to these people. Then don't be shitty to my friend kind of thing, you know.
Like 8, 9 years ago when Obama was elected, I was honestly that dumb white guy that thought race. I didn't exactly think racism is over. I knew it was going to be there. But yeah, basically, I thought we've passed a hurdle, you know, because it wasn't just all the black people voted for Obama. It was also the majority of white people voted for Obama twice. And I was like, he's got all this support across multiple ethnicities. You know, we have a black president now. Things have really probably gotten a lot better for black people. And of course, then since then, that seemed to really just like it drove a lot of people out of the woodwork that, like, instead of just hating your president because they're a liberal or a conservative, a lot of race shit came up because of that. And then all the shit starting, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago with Ferguson and everything, like all this police violence and stuff. And you're suddenly like, whoa, I've been fucking blind to think that like shit was good for black people in this country now, you know? Like, yeah. Boy, was I wrong, you know?
And you know, it does suck, and it is shitty that it kind of has to slap you in the face to have for you to realize it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's totally a failing on my part, you know. It's like
I feel bad I didn't realize shit till I was in my 30s about certain issues, and I'm like and I know that like I'm still trying. Yeah. In some regards, there's probably still some issues out there that, like, I don't fully understand because I don't fully have that point of view. And like you said, you know, it's having trans friends, having black friends, having friends of all other different things. And it kind of, like, getting that different perspective, yeah. reading the works and seeing the art of people from different races and cultures,
yeah.
I think is very important.
And, I mean, and going back, you know, it's still Black History Month. We saw the Free Black History Month, and
mm-hmm.
Which there, I read an article. Apparently, some real shitheads trolled the fuck out of it, but it's still a positive thing.
Yeah,
and it's just like, wow, I didn't know there was so many artists in the fandom that were black. You know, it's like, and that's more you pay attention. It's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know. Cool.
Yeah.
And
whereas I think, yeah, like you and I think it's kind of cool and interesting and neat that we have this diversity.
And they're just like, thank fuck I'm not the only black person in the fandom.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
It's like, it is a very much a different perspective. Cause for us, yeah, we're the fat white nerds. We're the default, is as awful as that sounds, but that's what most people
especially
think.
In furry and in geek spaces.
Yeah. And like, no, there's a lot of women in furry, and there's a lot of minorities in furry. Yeah. Just we need to.
And I discovered that with gaming too. Like, there's a lot more women in gaming than like everyone thinks is just fat white guys, but there's a lot more women. And I'm like, I can't see like being a woman and being a fan of that and dealing with the constant barrage of misogyny in that community.
Yeah. And you know, when it's one of those things that until you see it firsthand and go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It seems like a major overreaction. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And it's because it was like, and if it was like not just people talking shit about cosplayers, but also like there was this gal that had a pretty cool pixel art side scrolling shooter game that they were talking, people were talking shit about because they're a girl, what do they know about video games? And I was like, this was fun. I beat the demo. I got the poster. It's cool. And it's just like, it's like you don't believe it till you see it.
Yeah, yeah. And like, cause like so much, I think we dismiss too easily a lot of the shit that we see on the internet.
Yeah.
It's like, even though we're not boomers, we're not like, oh, the internet's all fake, you know? You're like, yeah, we know it's real, but like, it's easy to fake stuff. It's easy to just say, oh, well, that was just a tweet. You know, that person didn't really get assaulted or something.
Oh, Panther linked me a related tweet to that where it's like, the tweet was like, my new favorite thing is reading people's Twitter bios as if they're activation codes for Winter Soldier, like for Sleeper Agents. And it's like, such and such reads the word raconteur and immediately goes and starts an argument with a woman online. <You know>?
Fucking provocateur is a horrible self-description too. It really just means I'm going to be a troll.
I'm here to kick your shit.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Lol, lol, lol. How dare you speak against me? That's not fair.
Yeah.
So that's cheerful and enlightening.
Yeah, and I'd really like to see furry start. Or be at least trending in the right direction, you know, because our community has put some people on a plinth that are really, really shitty people. And we need to not do that, you know?
You know, doing it for the lulz is a shit reason, especially when it comes to RL and its effects. I commend the efforts of people in Colorado to basically kick that shit to the curb. And, you know, I think there should be pressure put forth by the community against certain other people with certain connections, not saying names or numbers, that probably shouldn't be in positions where they are.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, you go from making faux Nazi jokes to defending actual Nazis.
And you know, when it comes to artists, it's like, if someone draws real good dicks, but they're a shitty person, it's like, guys, you will find someone else to draw a really good dick. Maybe without, like homophobic, transphobic jokes thrown into the mix, you know?
What was the fucking... It was one of those memes with the whole, like, pointing at the forehead thing. It was like, your fans can't find out you have no class if you have no class to begin with, or something like that.
Or, you know, I don't know. Something was sort of like, your friends don't know you're a Nazi if you don't make Nazi jokes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So
that, I mean, you know, and I welcome hearing from some people I guess. I'm sure
this will probably incite quite a few emails.
But that's, that, you know, and I would just like to say I've said some things in the past that were shitty.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally regret saying them and apologize for them. And a couple years ago, like, I basically made it a resolution that I didn't say out loud or post anywhere, because it was a personal thing, that I was going to stop that shit. And I'm sure I still slip up occasionally, but, like, I'm really actively trying to not be a shitty person.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's just, you gotta fucking try to be better.
Yeah.
Try to be the best person you can be.
And you gotta do some self-examination, you know? Because,
you know,
I would say things like, I'm not racist, you know, I just occasionally make racist jokes for the amusement of my friends, you know? And it's like, even when you make a racist joke you make a black joke and your black friends laugh, it's like, yeah, just because that one black guy is cool with it or finds it funny, like, that doesn't excuse it. That doesn't make it okay.
Maybe they just don't want to rock the boat, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a big part of it, too. I mean, I don't want to get into their heads, but, like, yeah, maybe they don't want to rock the boat. Maybe they really do find that humor amusing. I don't know. But it's true. Like,
it's like, let's all try not to be shit.
Yeah. Really look at yourself and think about this kind of stuff, and then actively try to not be shitty. And, you know, once we're not being shitty, maybe we can try to actually help people.
Yeah. So that's...
So that's where we're at. Sarah and I had this conversation at lunch
the other day, and it was just one of those, like, yeah, we really need to bring it up, because, you know, people are like, oh, it's a slippery slope fallacy. I was like, really, it's not that slippery.
It's not a fallacy when you've seen it in action. And we've seen it in action in our own community.
Yeah. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
So, in other news,
yes,
there's new Pokemons.
Yes. So Savin has updated to the latest Pokemon.
Pokemon Go. And there's three Pokemon that I don't have out of the 9 inside that are, like, within range. One is a tiny owl orb. One is a monkey with a hand on its tail, and one's another, like, a crow with an afro. But none of them are showing up.
I guess you don't know the names of all 900.
I absolutely do not know the names of all 900, nor what 80 of the next gen they added.
Yeah.
Like, I can see that there's now 8 within my range, but now you can get more EVs and evolve them, and now there's a wider variety of bullshit around your place. So if you're still playing Pokemon Go, which that number is probably not that large, there's new Pokemon to catch and new items. Also, you can customize your character, and they added a bunch of bullshit, and you have to pay coins for some of it. So they have a fucking Trilby. You can put a Trilby on your Pokemon trainer, and it's 100.
Lapras.
And it's 180 coins. Or if you want to spend 800 coins, which, how much is that? I'm gonna go look at the store real quick. So 800 coins is a little bit more than $5. So it's 550 coins is $5. 1200 is $9.99. So for 800 coins. So, and if you bought the 1200, it would be two-thirds of that, so 666. You can get yourself a top hat with a Pokeball. Oh, what's that? A Pokemon appeared. It's a fucking Zubat. Get the fuck out, you Gen 1 piece of shit. It's like, that's not what I want to see.
Aren't they, like, super, super common?
They're super, super common, and they have a super tiny hitbox. Mm-hmm. You can only hit their tiny little center body, not their wings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it makes
them, they're hard to catch.
They're hard to catch, and they're shit.
Right. So why bother?
Yeah, no. Exactly. It's just like, oh, what's that? Nope, not looking. And going back to the jokes thing, Panther texted me, Irish guy, potato, potato.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like, again, let's try to be funny without insulting people. That would be great.
Wait, did Sean Spicer actually tweeted that?
It's what did Spicy tweet?
Whoever just unfollowed me, show yourself, you coward. Oh, wait, it's from 10th February 2013. That's funny.
Show me, you coward. Wait, what?
Now, I'm pretty sure nobody really knew who he was at the time, but it now has 13.2 thousand retweets, so...
Oh, Spicy. Huh. Austin Walker tweets, welcome to our podcast, Shade Control, a show about very barely constraining our deep-seated disdain for shitty people. Like,
hey, that's us.
That's a good episode title. Thanks, Austin Walker. We're going to steal that.
No, we have a title. We have the road to shit.
Yep. Really wasn't a huge fan of him on when he was on Giant Beastcast, but he's all right. Oh, what's that? People talking about beer in the porn chat? Oh, really? Oh, Matt Fox very helpfully adds. So we were having a discussion of beer the other day, and how, like, what's craft and what's not. But apparently Sam Adams is an independent brewery? I didn't know that. Oh, wow. So you should retweet that, Fuzz.
Okay.
It's a garage sale sign. Feel free to read it out, Fuzz.
Okay. Make garage sales great again. It's got a little caricature of Trump saying, it'll be huge. And the bullet points on it are, I have all the best stuff. It'll be tremendous. Believe me. If you miss it, you'll regret it bigly. Kid stuff, etc. It'll be huge. So I just retweeted that.
Nice.
So in like 3 days when you hear this episode, you can totally scroll through my hundreds of tweets and find
it. Or I could retweet it from the podcast account.
Okay, yeah.
One of the two. So, beer and shitty people and Pokemans.
What else is going on?
Well, today while I was doing car other crashes. Things, I set my ship to autopilot and flew 0.22 light years off of Alpha Centauri to get to the most remote station in all of Elite Dangerous.
Oh.
That's within normal human space. So there's a place, it's an outpost called Hutton Orbital.
Where everyone knows your name.
It's off Alpha Centauri. Mm-hmm. Technically, it's off Proxima Centauri, which is the orbiting star of Alpha Centauri.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty far away from where you warp in.
Mm.
It is, like, there's literally no reason to go to this station except for you to say, I've done it.
Mm.
So it's actually, like, if you have a small enough ship, you can run out of fuel on the way there and die.
Wow. So you have even less reason to go in that situation.
Then. Yeah. So it's this tiny little mining platform over a planet that's pretty shitty around a shitty little star that, like, it's like going to the furthest shitty point on the furthest north of Scotland.
They don't even have a furry con. That's how shitty this place is.
Though they desperately want beer. If you want to fly for literally an hour and 51 minutes.
In real
fucking time, you can get there.
Jesus. Is there like at least like cool graphics to look at during that
time? Just going through fucking the black of space.
Wow.
So, obviously, what I did is I
You hit autopilot and ran errands.
Basically, I got out, pointed myself in that direction, turned on the autopilot, or turned on the warp drive, set my throttle to the blue zone, locked the helm, and walked away and did other things, while occasionally looking over at my computer and going, nope, still going. Other thing. Oh, nope, still going. Other thing. Oh, wait, I gotta adjust my track slightly. I drifted. I didn't drift. The star transited slightly, and at distance, like, a tiny transit still is a big trajectory change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, you know, it's like you have to, like, adjust it very slightly every little bit. It's like, oh, shit, what is it? Desert Bus.
Oh, okay.
It's Desert Bus, but in space.
Space Bus.
Yeah, it's Space Bus, because your shit, it drifts slightly to a side. So I did that today as a rite of passage type thing. I did it.
So why can't you, like you said, warp in? Why can't you warp in closer? So is it sort of like, is there jump gates like in Babylon 5? Is it that kind of thing?
Not jump gates. Basically, in Elite Dangerous, your system, when you activate the frameshift drive, you basically point yourself at a sufficiently large star and fling yourself at it at relativistic velocities, and the star's gravity wheel pulls you out of it.
Mm.
You basically bend space in a bubble around your ship, and you rely on the star to stop you.
Mm.
And Proxima Centauri apparently doesn't have enough mass.
Oh, okay.
It's a red dwarf.
So in the game, is there an in-game logic as to why this station was built in this place that's so far away?
The reason, the in-game world, is that the planet called Eden was the first world that the burgeoning Federation of Humanity found water on an extrasolar planet that was within reach.
Okay. They're
like, holy shit, there could be life here. Turns out, no, Proxima Centauri is actually a really radioactive heavy star. And shit's all fucked. The planet's baked.
But there was, like, a research station built.
It's basically the only reason that it's there is it's a research station and there's some mining done on the planet.
Mm, okay. The
planet Eden. But, yeah, it was one of those things where it's, like, the in-game reason is, like, this was the first planet that we found water and thought there might have been life on.
Huh, okay.
But it wasn't. We were wrong. But we still have a research station because it's still there.
Because science, bitches.
Because science, yeah. Now, in the world of Elite Dangerous, there's not other alien species, but there is alien life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's alien animals and creatures and terrestrial planets that have been settled upon and all that. There just hasn't been other alien races, like other, like, sentient alien races.
Right.
Except recently.
So on this topic, after you talked about it with me, I went and checked it out, and I'm now completely caught up on The Expanse.
Yes.
So if you have Amazon Prime, so season one of The Expanse is available on Prime Video. It is included as part of Prime, so you can watch all of season one. And then after I did that, I went and bought season two on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't buy it on Amazon because compared to iTunes, Amazon's interface is shit.
Yeah.
And like the show, for some reason, doesn't even look as good on Amazon's apps as it does on iTunes. Like, I was using Prime two different ways. I had it on the app on my PS3, and then I used it on the web when I was at work, and I was watching it on my other computer. And, like, for some reason, it doesn't always look that great. And, like, the interface had a couple of things that really annoyed me. Mm-hmm. The captioning is really shitty as well.
Well, like, what Panther and I did initially, because I wanted him to watch it. And so we bounced it from my iMac in here through AirPlay onto through the Apple TV projector.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't control it with the Apple TV remote or anything
right
while you're airplaying it. So, like, if we missed what they said, we'd have to, like, hop up, come in here, rewind it for a little bit. And their video player is not the best either.
Yeah.
So after we watched four episodes straight, we're like, we're buying this. And we ended up catching all the way up in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, it was like a couple of days.
It was like, oh, man, this is fun. And the thing is, the first season is only, like, halfway through the first book.
Yeah.
And out of six mm-hmm. with two more planned.
And it is interesting because, like you were saying, it's more hard sci-fi than other shows. So, like, yeah, it's not just like the Enterprise. They just go, oh, impulse power, and they go right where they want. Now, they're doing thrusters to make minor course corrections. They're doing a flip and burn to change directions. Like it's more like what some of our ships nowadays are actually doing. And like, yeah, they're longer distance, but they don't have like a warp drive or anything like that.
It's like shit takes days and the shit, you know, you need. And actually I had a thing the other day where I was going from point to point doing some delivery missions in Elite and was like looking, there's a tool online, EDDB, that tells you what's a really good thing to make money on taking. Like,
you want to say that slower so people?
EDDB.
Okay. Because for a second, all I could think of was the little robot guy from Buck Rogers. And beady, beady, beady.
Beady, 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 and the thing that was like the highest margin was this station needs water. And I was like, how very space opera of me. I'm going to bring these people 27 tons of water in my ship.
Nice.
And made a decent profit on it too. But I'm just like, yeah, I got to bring the colonists water because in space, air and water is life. So I felt vaguely good about just like, you know, after watching 14 or so episodes of The Expanse, I'm bringing these colonists water. I'm doing something good.
I'll tell you the thing I really enjoy is I try to look at the backgrounds because, like, I love the world building. Mm-hmm. And, like, and I kind of know. So, like, I read Kismet, the book we published. I read about a year and a half ago. And, like, and I was picturing this all in my head. And then after that, I saw Star Trek Beyond, which, have you seen Star Trek Beyond?
I haven't yet.
Okay, there's a space station called the Yorktown. And it looks like a giant snow globe in space. And, like, the ground, like, kind of curves up around the dome because gravity is different in that kind of environment. And then you see the Expanse, and it's kind of similar ways with, like, the way, like, the apartments are sort of built into the sides and everything like that. And just, like, I've really gotten into, like, what would these space stations actually look like if we were able to build them, you know? And I have to say, the Expanse seems, like, super accurate for what a couple hundred years of human technology might look like. Like, it doesn't look as slick and smooth and clean as, like, Star Trek The Next Generation. Yeah. It looks like what you would expect from the space station that's up there now, 200 years in the future.
Yeah. There's some pretty really cool, strong, like, societal, like, delineations. Like, this is what the rich part looks like. This is what everybody else's part looks like. And it focuses a lot on more the common man.
Yeah, to think about, like, the richy rich part, like, called the fucking cops to investigate the fact that people had stolen some water that kept their little garden green.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, people in, like, the dock level are, like, they're all short on water there, but the rich fuckers are, like, wasting enough of it to grow grass in space.
Yeah.
It's like, and, of course, the cops are like, okay, asshole, we'll get right on that.
It is one of those things where, like, in Elite Dangerous, there's very strong differentiation between the types of stations.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the agri stations, the agricultural ones, they have the rings, the rotating rings, and you can look as you're coming into the dock area, you can see that there's parks and farmland. And, I just fucking love the aesthetic of that game and the space, and I was like, man, I wish I could fuck off to space like that.
Where
it's like, man, fuck this noise. I'm gonna go visit the Pleiades.
It's really the Expanse is kind of neat in the way they talk about the different planets and stuff like that. So, like, the Belters, the people that live on the asteroid belt, like, or talk to the dude that was from Earth and left Earth, and they're just like, man, being able to, like, have all the water you needed to be surrounded by it, to look up and see a blue sky. Why would you ever leave that behind? Whereas, like, the Martian guy is talking to the Earther later on, and he's like, you guys have completely fucked up your planet, and I hope we can get Mars up and running before you destroy it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and
it's interesting how to kind of like, yeah, Earth came first and it's the cradle of humanity, but like we've fucked it up so much that like people are like moving out into the solar system.
Well, it's funny because in the intro,
mm-hmm.
they show like the progression of humanity, but that also includes we fuck up the ice caps.
Yeah.
And a lot of the human Earth side stuff happens at the UN in New York City.
Yeah.
And they show the Statue of Liberty has this big retaining wall around it because otherwise Ellis Island would be underwater.
Right.
And the Statue of Liberty would just be standing in the water ankle deep.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those like, that's a little bit of interesting world building. And when they show the spread of humanity across everything, they spread across the entirety of the Earth. It's like, through Africa and the Middle mm-hmm. East, and all of like the Earth is just full of people. And
I think cities. They said there's 30 billion people on Earth.
Yeah.
By that point. So to put into perspective, there's what? Seven and a half? Okay. You know, I'm thinking of Star Trek. There's like 9 billion people in their time. But yeah. I mean, I remember in grade school when they were like, there was like 4.5 billion. And this is like 30 odd years ago. Like just within my lifetime for the population to explode that much is just insane.
Yeah, 7.5 billion according to mm-hmm. Google.
Okay.
So that was to recap, Elite Dangerous is neat. The Expanse is really good, and don't be shitty people. Try to examine your interactions with others.
Yes.
So. We're coming up on an hour here, so we're going to stop and save, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Shade Control with Fuzz and Saverin. So we actually also have something really cool right now. So the Humble Freedom... comes all right.
Okay.
I like giving it to people.
Mm.
Except when I could actually get them pregnant and there's a condom involved. However, something though that is cool is the Humble Freedom Bundle. It is 100% to charity with the ACLU, Medicine mm-hmm. Sans Frontieres, or Doctors Without Borders, and the Rescue Fund, which helps human trafficking. And they so far have raised $5 million, then a further $300,000 will be matched by Humble for the charity. And
wait, a further what? $300,000. Okay, all
so
right.
So basically, they're like, we'll match up to $300,000, and that was hit within like the first
$5 million.
First 20 minutes or so.
Jesus,
it was really impressive. So what we're gonna do? We're gonna buy a couple of these bundles, put a little bit of our money where our mouth is, and be like, hey, we're going to, you know, that way we can donate some money to the ACLU and Doctors Without Borders and stuff like that, and also get some cool shit. Well, yes, you can touch my butt, Fuzz, but not right now, we're recording. But this way, we can also just be like, hey, we have a couple bundles, you write in a good email, we'll send you something random.
Yeah.
Which... doesn't help if you've already bought the Humble Bundle yourself, but the thought's there. And there's a couple of super furry games that I hadn't seen. Like Overgrowth, yeah. I've seen that one. That game's been in beta forever. But there was, what was it, Dusty Revenge or whatever. It's a Singaporean side-scroller that's super furry. Like the main character is like a ninja bunny, and there's a Kitsune character who's the secondary player character. There's a bear with a big gun, and... it has local co-op and like a Western aesthetic, but also, you know, very Asian as well. It's like, I'd never heard of this game, and it came out like middle of July of 2014. I'm like, wow, I missed out there. So like, I'm totally going to get that from one of the bundles and make some videos on it because it looks really cool. And I had never heard of it
it does.
until we looked at it just now going like, oh, this is really cool. Wait, what? What's that?
What's this? What's this? It's furry everywhere.
What's this? There's cum all in my hair. Oh, God damn it. No. So the Humble Freedom Bundle is a good thing. And how much longer does it have? I'm going to double check real quick. It has a lot of really cool games and also has books and a couple soundtracks in there. And it has really good games like Nuclear Throne and Stardew Valley and The Witness, which is a really...
Can I get a witness? Yes, you can.
Stanley Parable, Hexagon, VVVVV. I'm just trying to pull it up here on my humblebundle.com.
Why don't you just drag your iMac over to the table?
This currently pipe changed that desk.
It's what?
You know how people get the locks that go into the back of their computer case?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, okay.
There's the bike lock.
Oh, all right.
Because iMacs have the little loop on the base there.
Yeah.
That you can loop something through. And since there's loops on both the desk and the back of that, I was like, bike chain.
Nice.
So, see, there's the Humble PC Lovers Bundle, which is not what I'm here for. There's Star Wars Bundle 3 and... Freedom Bundle. There's a lot of bundles right now going on. However, so there is currently, looks like 3 days, 15 hours, 49 minutes left as of this recording. So there is time for you to get this by the time the episode goes live for everybody. Anyways, so we do have a couple emails this week. Like if I reiterated before, we had a derp, which is why we stop and save, had a thing where it's like, target disc too slow. And I'm like, that shouldn't be possible. What the fuck? So we lost, like, an email, but we're back, and we're going to fix it. So, as always, you can email us, notcast@foxeffers.com. Fuzz, take it away again.
Okay. Advice for a panel noob. Okay. Hello again, Notcast. JD writing in again in search of a little advice. I last wrote in a while back to tell you the tale of me broadening my horizons and becoming more active in the fandom. In that case, it was my first acceptance letter from a furry publisher. Buy Fuzz's books. Since that time, I've had another story accepted and added 3 more rejection letters to my collection, such as The Life of a Writer. This evening, I'm writing in to ask advice for becoming more active in the fandom in another regard. Or for the first time. It was actually the rapidly approaching Furry Fiesta that made me think of this. While I won't be able to attend myself this year, I will be going to Furthermore, my local con. This year's theme of 8-bit adventure inspired me to continue reaching out into the fandom. As, like many writers, writing fan fiction was how I began. I've kept at for many years now and thought I could share my thoughts on the subject, so I suggested a panel for the con. So here's where the request for advice begins. Do you have any tips for a rookie panelist? I've given a grand total of 1 presentation in my life, and that was back in high school. Any specific tips for a writing-focused panel? Even if my proposed panel isn't accepted, I'd still like to help out with the writing track, and I'm planning to offer to do so. I know that one of my biggest problems is that I'm a very quiet guy, so I'm making an effort to practice talking louder. Any other advice you have to give would be greatly appreciated. Thanks in advance for the advice, and thanks for the entertainment. JD, your Fox Dragon fan from Maryland. So, what do you think, Sammer?
Well, if it is going to be your first time doing a panel... make sure that you have an outline, because you really need to prepare as a first-time panelist. Have yourself an idea and an outline. Try to have around 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so of stuff to talk about, because you can't count on the audience being participatory, and you need to be able to fill the time. Now, obviously, you don't go for a full hour because most panelists only get 45 to 50 minutes because you have to cycle people in and out of panel rooms, et cetera, et cetera. So basically have an outline. Say, I want to talk about blah for X number of minutes and then go on down the thing. And yeah, you'll have people that like pipe up during the panel because there always is someone who wants to pipe up during the middle of the panel, even if it's not that type of panel. And you have to have a little bit of padding for randos derailing you. But basically, try to have yourself an outline ready to go. If you have if you can, and it can help, you know, PowerPoint's not a bad idea if you have access to a projector, you know, and it'll help. You know, people will look at that, and you can do a lecture-style thing. If you're going to talk about fan fiction, if you're doing a multi-part panel, you should collaborate with your co-panelists and be like, yo, we want to talk about this. And if you're going to go the full route of having a PowerPoint, you know, start preparing now.
Yeah, I don't think it's required, but for depending on some panel types, it could definitely be handy.
Yeah, and like if it's your first time, you're not just going to pull it out of your ass. Like, you're not.
Yeah.
You're going to freeze up. You're going to forget what you're talking about. And having some notes, having a PowerPoint will really save your ass in that situation, because odds are people are going to get the fact that it is your first panel. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, guys, I just totally want you to know it's my first panel. Just give me, you know, be patient with me. Because just...
This panel has been Animal Care, hosted by Fluttershy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not like my opinions on feeding bears orphan foals? I'm sorry. you don't think I should tie you up and leave you for the rats? No. those are some great Valentine's.
Yes.
Basically, have yourself an outline, have yourself like some time goals for a given topic, and don't be too hard on yourself if you get off track. I mean, practice is one thing, but, you know, no plan survives contact with, you know, not the enemy in this case because they're just fellow attendees, but you know what I mean,
or right? Or are they?
Oh, they're the enemies.
They could be changelings in disguise. No. You might start talking and they just start going,
hiss at you like, oh, they're gonna feed on my love, they killed there, they're gonna eat me next, oh no.
And I prefer to have co-panelists when I can. It helps the conversation to like bounce off of other people.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at this show, we wouldn't do it by ourselves, right?
We'd just be so sad just sit here talking about my feelings.
Like, here, I mean, if I was going to do that, I'd just turn it into a YouTube vlog series, and I'd say something wrong and be dragged forever. But then again, I'm trying not to do that.
The only acceptable dragging is on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
I guess. I don't know. Oh, apparently the big news with that is Lady Gaga is going to be on it.
Sweet. I've never watched it.
I've never watched it. I know it's a
big deal
either.
For Keo, so if he was here, he could be like, oh, girl, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And he would, but he's not.
So there.
Just us.
Yes.
The scary wolf and small fox. Scree.
Wait, I'm scary?
I don't know. You're a wolf. You're scary and or smelly, depending on who you're talking to. Species stereotypes.
Oh.
So, yeah, definitely prepare, because if you go up there thinking you're just going to bust it out, well, you're not, first of all, especially if you're not used to talking in front of crowds. But, you know,
yeah, it
derails you and you lose track of what you're talking about. And then you end up talking about, you know, obscure Russian claymation video games for 30 minutes. And people are like, what the fuck are you smoking? I'm like,
did anyone actually say that to you? Why did you go on that tangent?
Well, I posted a video today about an obscure Russian claymation video.
We talked about it last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually went up today, and it's real weird.
It sounded interesting.
Yeah, like,
if the worst comes to the worst, distract your audience. Like, throw a laser pointer into the crowd and run.
Just be like, oh, look, there's the red dot is on that fursuiter. Get it! And you're like, no! And then you're like, they ruined the magic! Get him! No! So there's that. Oh, what else? You know, it's like, there's,
I don't know.
You know, Fiesta is coming up very soon. The Nintendo Switch is going to be out by the time Fiesta rolls around, so I may have one. But
depends how easily available they are.
Yeah, I really want to get one, but I also really want to get my hands on and play with one before I commit to buying one.
Mm.
So I got to get a demo unit in my hands because I want to play that Zelda.
Right.
And it's funny because this year we're actually buying a couple of Wii U's for Smash Brothers specifically. So we'll have all the DLC and shit so we can do the little charity tournament thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we're buying the systems after the next one comes out. It's kind of funny that way.
Should save the con some money on the Wii U's then.
Yeah, they should be They should be hopefully less expensive than they were when I initially quoted them. Because, you know, the Wii U was kind of a shame.
Yeah, I heard people weren't real, and not, I don't know if I'm going to say impressed, but overall. Basically, well, I heard people saying it was a failed system, and I don't know if that's actually true or not, because video games, I have no idea. Just saying what I heard. What was your opinion?
Well, I don't own any of the current-gen systems, so I don't have a PS4, I don't have an X-Bone, I don't have a Wii U. Basically, console gaming just doesn't grab me as much as it used to. Like, the last system I played the shit out of was my Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And we got our PS3 because it was the least expensive Blu-ray player available at the time that also got firmware updates. So basically, Sony supports their system, and it's an up-to-date Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
In addition to playing some video games. And we've used them for Fiesta and stuff.
I use mine as more of a media center than anything else. Streaming shit from, well, like Amazon Prime Video. I use the app on that.
There was an app for the PS3 on that one, huh?
Yep, and just streaming from stuff on my PC or whatever to my TV set.
Yeah, because we've got our Apple TV in the front room, and we have the PS3 for Blu-rays because we've got a couple of Criterion Collection of the Kurosawa films.
Right,
on Blu-ray. Really cool.
And also plays DVDs.
Yeah. Our PS3 does.
Yeah.
It was a $200 Blu-ray player when we bought it. And I have a very nice PC and tons of games. Like, the only game that I really kind of want to play that I can't play because it's not on PC as of late is, like, Nioh, which is a Japanese Dark Souls-esque game that has a lot of roguelike, like, randomly generated shit. It seems to be really cool and popular, but it's not on PC, and I'm not going to buy a fucking $400 console.
For one game. Right.
Now, I realize it's slightly hypocritical, because I'm like, yo, I want a Nintendo Switch for Zelda, which is one game, but there's also going to be a Mario game and a bunch of other stuff that looks really cool coming down the pipe later on.
Yeah.
But again, it's also $300 to start.
So that's less than what the PS4 would cost you then.
Yeah. So, but again, we'll see. I haven't gotten hands on the system, so I'm not going to make any judgments until I get some time with it. Like, the only thing that I would want from a Wii U would be Super Mario Maker.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I remember seeing a few years or so ago, a lot of people were playing with that, making their own levels and stuff.
Yeah, it came out like a year and a half ago, and it was very popular, very well done. And people were really creative and evil with it.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. But, like, they did a version for 3DS that was really shit.
Oh.
Like, it took out some of the functionality.
Well, I mean, it would almost have to.
Yeah, because there's not enough processing power. But so hopefully we'll have a Switch or two show up at Fiesta this year. Like, I actually had an outside gaming company contact me and be like, hey, you guys looking to maybe hire an outside group to do this? And I think it's actually starting to become time to do that.
Well, just so that they would, because they would have all the systems already.
They have all the systems. They got people to manage it. It's their shit. They go from con to con, and they run the room the hours we set for them.
Like,
I'd have to find out what it costs, essentially.
Right.
Because, you know, the vast majority of the consoles, Fiesta, they're mine, and if I haven't purchased anything new, and
that's not a bad idea, rather than every 2 to 3 years reinvesting money into more and more updated consoles. But you'd have to, like, do a serious Q&A on them and be like, well, how many different consoles and which ones are you going to bring and, you know, what do we have access to? Because, like, you've got, like, people, you know, bringing older consoles and stuff like that, too.
Because we do have people bring their own stuff. We have a guy who's, like, is going to bring his Rock Band setup.
Yeah, and would that still be allowed if you had a company doing it, or would they not want to?
Yeah, they probably wouldn't want outside consoles and stuff. So it's going to be something we have to look at for next year. But we're past, what, 3,000 attendees at this point?
Not yet, but this year we will be, probably. Yeah.
Like,
it was 2880 last year.
So we're close to 3.
Yeah.
But it's kind of getting to the point where it's like, A, my consoles are old as shit, and while people totally dig being able to play Smash Brothers on an N64 and my PS2 having like DDR and shit,
mm-hmm.
that's cool. But A, that's my shit and I don't want it broken. Mm-hmm. And B, it's also old.
Yeah.
And while people don't come to the con to play video games, the vast majority don't, I still want to have a good current up-to-date multiplayer environment.
Yeah.
So that people can come.
Well, you have people in there all week.
Oh, yeah. There's never a time. The only time people are not in the room is when I have to kick them out to close at the end of the night.
Right.
Because I'm like, yo, get out. You don't have to, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I got to get some sleep. They're like, aw, can't you stay open? No, please leave. Okay.
Wow.
Hey, I mean, if there was enough people that wanted to do it 24 hours, but then again, I don't want any of my stuff walking, so I'm fine locking it up for a period each night.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there.
You'd also need more volunteer coordination and to make sure that you have trustworthy people there all night long.
Because, some of the TVs are mine. The cons bought TVs. I mean, they're not great TVs. They were $200 32-inchers many years ago.
Yeah.
But still, that's con property that doesn't need to walk, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But Nintendo Switch comes out, we'll probably have at least one pop-up at the convention. But because that is a eminently stealable device, I don't imagine people will be leaving them in the room very often.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically all they do, they're tablets.
Yeah.
It's a tablet gaming system with two little controllers that slide on the side or it plugs into a dock. So the whole console is basically the size of the Wii U's gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not big. You're not going to stick it in your pants pocket unless you've got fucking JNCOs.
Mm-hmm.
but
unless we're back in the 90s, you know?
We're back in the 90s. Oh, shit, JNCOs came back. You can now put your console in your pocket. Woo!
Yeah, actually, I read that JNCOs were trying to make a comeback. They were actually going to release, a 25th anniversary edition.
Nice.
Like, massive fucking openings. And
they get crisscrossed where their shit backwards.
Oh, my sister should totally buy one because she used to wear JNCOs back in the day, except now she, can keep her baby in the pocket.
Well, there you go.
I gotta text her that. Be like, I just had this thought.
Well, I've seen a baby holster, right? You've uh-huh. seen this, right? Where it's like this, it's a men's belt for manly carrying your baby, and it's
mm-hmm.
like a reinforced weight belt that has basically a baby holster. The baby, it's like a back, like you would carry it on your back, except it's on your hip, like a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a baby holster.
Yeah.
Whip it out and poop and it's like, I'm going to make, all right, baby, puke. You know, or just poop at them. So, video games.
Yep.
Convention coming up real soon. I'm excited, apprehensive, but mainly excited. It's always fun. You know, Fiesta's still a big deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working our butt off. That's why she was not here. She's in crunch time for the con. And so that is life. So at this point, it is 9:37, and you were yawning a bit ago, Fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
And we are now at around an hour 20 or so. Bit less after I edit this down a little bit. We're going to probably wrap it around here if you have anything else, though.
Can't really think of anything.
All right. Yeah. Well, as
important.
Always, you can email us, notcast@foxduffers.com. You can go to our Tumblr just through notcast.com and send us anonymous asks that way. But if you do that, we can't send you shit. It sucks. We have a Patreon as well, patreon.com/notcast. And we're doing pretty cool on that. We don't ask a lot. Just buck an episode, buck a month, whatever helps. Just we appreciate it. Check us out. And you can follow me on YouTube at justafox.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. Warning, spicy memes and politics.
It's the spicy meatball.
Oh, that's a fine, the meme. Bibbidi-bobbidi. What about you, Fuzz?
Well, you can follow the show at Notcast on Twitter. You can follow me at FuzzWolf on Twitter. And if you want to follow my publishing stuff, that would be at FurPlanet on Twitter, FurPlanet.com to buy stuff.
Yes, also, okay. You are looking for submissions for the new FF anthology.
Yeah, so we have Fang, which is male-male anthology, and Roar, which is a general audience anthology. And we have now started a female-female erotica anthology, which we're calling Claw. If you go to baddogbooks.com, the guidelines are there on the blog. So read up and submit to that. We also have a dystopian anthology that's open right now, I think. I'm not sure when that closes. But yeah, go to Bad. If you're interested in writing and submitting some stories, go to baddogbooks.com and go to the blog page and check out what we got open there. And the idea is Claw Volume 1 would come out probably Anthrocon 2018, because we'll need a little while to work through everything there. So what you got there, Savern? Something amusing?
Yeah, retweet of someone going, "Hey, old media, instead of just calling us fascists, why not learn to script and edit YouTube videos and compete with us in the marketplace of ideas?" And one of the replies is, "You're on YouTube because there is no place for you in the actual competitive market of broadcast television." Snap.
Boy.
So.
I want to throw out the other thing. Okay, so you can submit to the Dystopian Anthology until May the 1st. I'm mixing up my things. The Roar 8 submission period just closed, so we're done with that. But we have announced the theme for Roar Volume 9, and that is resistance. So feel free to start writing your resistance stories, and that will open for submissions later in the year. But there's a theme, so you can go ahead and work with that.
Wow. Okay, so guys, I just want to tell you something about really fucking cool that Panther just linked me.
Okay.
It's a convention in Las Vegas in 2018. World of Concrete 2018.
Okay. What does that mean?
Hell yeah, best time of the year. Just me and 60,000 other concrete jockeys making the most of it and letting loose. Photo of me drink off my ass, holding up two huge margaritas, riding a mechanical bull that someone dressed up like a cement mixer. Let's go. I'm starting to GoFundMe for plane tickets right now. I got you, bruh. Is there something like a kennel, but for babies? A mini fridge? Oh, well, I guess he has to come with us. Just World of Concrete 2018. Be there or be.
Just
square concrete. I don't know. All right. So on that note, good night.
And big concrete balls?
Yes.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night and God bless.